I love the Bible because the Bible is full of stories of real people. If you want to know the stories of tragedy or the stories of triumph, you don't have to look far. You just open the Bible and start reading it. Heartbreaking stories as well as heartwarming stories. God of second chance. You have all the wonderful stories in the Bible. As Dottie pointed out, one of the stories, you know, speaking to me louder than many others, is the story of Jonah. I'm sure you, some of you heard of that, Jonah and the whale, the big fish, right? For some of you who are not familiar with the story of Jonah, I'm going to just summarize as briefly as I can. It has only four chapters in the Bible, very short chapters, so average reader could finish the entire book of Jonah in 10 minutes. So I encourage you when you go home today, you know, if you could spare 10 minutes, sit down and open the Bible. You may need the index where the book of Jonah is in the Old Testament and read through. It takes about 10 minutes and you will get a lot of more from the Bible itself. Anyway, those of you who are not familiar with, I'm going to summarize the story. One day God appeared to a man named Jonah, and God commanded Jonah to go to a certain city named Nineveh. What is Nineveh? Nineveh is the capital city of the enemy kingdom. Okay? So God says, Jonah, go to the Nineveh and proclaim my message of judgment. Tell them that in 40 days, God will bring down a judgment on you. Well, Jonah received God's word. However, instead of going to the east where Nineveh was, Nineveh is modern-day Iraq. If you think of Israel, you know, Iraq is located on the east side. So instead of going to the east, Jonah was going to the west. He was got on the board on the ship and sailing to Tarshish, modern-day Spain. Well, God knows what he was doing, so, you know, God sent a storm on the ship. So that weather, not supposed to have any storm, so the captain of the ship figured it out, what's wrong with us? Some of us, you know, responsible for this bringing down the storm, the sudden storm. And they cast lots and they fell onto Jonah. And Jonah confessed, folks, you're right. I'm the one running away from God. That's why God's sending a storm upon us. So if you throw me overboard, everything's going to be fine. Sure enough, they threw him into the sea and storm stopped immediately. Well, God appointed a big fish right next to the ship. As soon as Jonah landed on the water, and the big fish swallowed him for the next 3 days and kept him there in the dark belly, and where Jonah repented of his sin running away from God, and he offered his prayer of thanksgiving. And God ordered the big fish to spit him out onto the dry land. And Jonah went to the Nineveh and preached God's word, saying, basically saying, in 40 days, God will bring down a judgment on you. Well, the king of the Nineveh took it very seriously. He says, well, if God bring judgment upon us, we better do something. And he ordered everyone, old and male, and, you know, just old and young and male and female, and including the animals, to fast for 3 days. Okay, they fasted. And they repented. When God looking down what's happening in the city of Nineveh, God changed his mind from bring down the judgment to forgiving them. Well, Jonah in chapter 4, which we read, he was still waiting, anticipating and expecting to see God's judgment, you know, coming down onto the city of Nineveh. Of course, it didn't happen. And that made Jonah extremely unhappy. And God decided, I'm going to teach him a lesson. So he brought out a wonderful, you know, plant we call kikayon, and that overshadows Jonah's head in the modern, even back then, very extremely hot weather during the daytime. Scorching sun beating down on Jonah's head. Jonah was extremely tired and faint, and all of a sudden, you know, wonderful plant shading over his head. Jonah was extremely happy, and that night God appointed another worm to attack the plant, and the plant withered on the following morning, and sun beating down on Jonah's forehead, and Jonah was extremely angry about the plant dying. And that story goes on, okay, as you heard. You know, I've been in ministry for 26 years, and I preached over 1,000 sermons so far. And you always remember a certain topic that you preached and people's respond. Okay? Their response was the great. And actually this topic comes on top of any other sermons that I preached. I don't know why, but it must have spoken to their hearts. It was the topic of anger. Anger with God first and anger with people. Tell me anyone who doesn't, you know, have those angers in their hearts. Everyone seems to me, myself included. So today and the next Sunday, what I'm going to do is preaching on the topic of anger. Of course, I have about 20-25 minute, you know, window for one sermon. There is no way that I could cover all the aspects of anger, both theological and practical, with just two sermons. However, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to try to point out what the Bible says about our anger, human anger, towards God first and towards each other. And there's another big topic called God's anger, divine anger. If you talk about human anger, we need to think about divine anger too. The Bible calls it God's anger or God's wrath. And most of us don't want to think about God's wrath. That's why some of us do not like the Old Testament. They say God in the Old Testament is full of anger and whatever. That's why we don't like it. But you know what? It is essential for us to understand God's wrath. Why? That's the reason why, precisely the reason why Christ has come. Christ has come to save us and spare us from God's wrath upon the sins that we have committed. Okay, that's another big topic. Can wait. I'll take another time to preach on that. Anyway, today, as part one of the two, anger at God. Wouldn't you agree with me? People get angry with God from time to time. Do they not? Even ourselves, believers in Christ, we do get angry with God from time to time, and I'm guilty of it too. Now, there was one survey done several years ago on anger at God by Julie Exline. She's the psychologist at Case Western Reserve University. Now, following is the findings that she made through the survey. Number one, atheists and agnostics reported more anger at God during their lifetimes than believers. Now, if you think of that statement, atheists and agnostics, more anger at God than the believers. Now, by definition, atheist means they don't believe in the existence of God, and how could get angry at God? Something that they don't believe in it. You see, this sounds a little funny, but the way I interpret this, her finding is this. Perhaps they started as a believer in God, and something disappointed them big time with God that they decided, not believing in the existence of God. That may be the case. Anyway, that's the first finding. Second finding is this. Anger is found among the bereaved at the death of their loved ones. We don't have to, you know, just elaborate on this. I remember in my salad days in 1990s in Michigan, one night I was called to minister to one family, young family, close to midnight too. I've never been to, you know, it was more like a stranger to the church. Anyway, I was called in, and I was sitting in the living room with the parents, especially the father. He was exploding in his anger toward God, saying that because they lost their infant son. You know, two seeds, sudden infant death syndrome, okay? And he was exploding in his anger, saying that how in the world, why God take my son. Do I have an answer? Not even today, I don't have an answer. Some people are very angry when they lose their loved ones. Now, third finding is this. More religious people are less likely to feel angry at God and more likely to see God's intentions as well-meaning. Fourth finding is this. The younger generation tend to be angrier at God than the older. For example, rejection from preferred colleges and or sports injuries. One possible reason, Ms. X-Line continues, is age. The previous generations were taught not to question God, whereas young people today do not have any qualms about it. The last finding she made is this: long-standing negative emotions lead to ailments, both mental and physical. And it is medically proven true. Now, let me begin with the definition of anger so that we may stay on the same page. I'm using the Oxford Dictionary. Anger, I quote, "the strong feeling that you have when something has happened that you think is bad or unfair." Speaking of Jonah, his anger perfectly fits this category. He felt God treated him unfairly. And Jonah was also mad at God because a bad thing happened to his favorite plant. Just died overnight. He was so mad at God. So therefore, this is what I mean by anger at God. Anger at God would be the anger directed at God due to his actions or no actions. For instance, when we anticipate God's immediate justice served and yet do not see it right away, we get upset with God. Here's another case. When God's actions are different from our own expectations and hopes, we tend to be angry with God too. Now, for actual study, remember what I said, Bible is filled with real life stories, and I'm going to present to you three cases in the Bible. The first one is Cain. Who's Cain? You know, the first family in the history, Adam and Eve, they, you know, just had the first son, and they named him Cain. That's their first son. And they also have the second son, whose name was Abel. So Cain, he grew up into a farmer, and Abel turned out to be a shepherd. In due time, both of them brought the offerings to God. And Cain, of course, from the field, brought the grain offering. And Abel, from his flock, he brought the animal sacrifice, lamb. Some reason God accepted Abel's, you know, offering, but rejected Cain's. And that's when Cain lashed out his anger against Abel. So what they did is that when they two are alone in the field, Cain struck his younger brother to death. First murder case in human history. Now, this is Cain reasoned in his mind and heart. God is so unfair to reject my offerings while he accepted my brothers. And he expressed his anger in a wrong and destructive way and killing his own brother. You see, anger at God happens when we refuse to accept God's sovereignty. And that's another topic to discuss later on. But anyway, that's the first case. Second case in the Bible is the wife of Job. Some of you heard of the story of Job. Who was Job? The Bible calls him a righteous man in the sight of God. Everything he did is perfect. Okay? Now, one day, something happened. Bad happened. Job lost all his possessions. You know, thieves and bandits came and took everything he owned. In those days, you know, flock, sheep and goats and whatnot. All gone. And you think that's bad enough. He lost all of his 10 children. They were having feast under one roof in the house, and tornado swept through that region, and roof collapsed on all of them, and they killed them all. 10 of them lost in one day. If you think that's even bad enough, wait until he came up with a terrible skin disease that he had to break a piece of shard and scrape himself. It was so terrible disease. Now, looking at all these things happening, the wife of Job, she was pretty mad at God, and she lashed out her anger and asking her husband to curse God and die. Isn't it amazing? Now, let me tell you how I see her attitude was. Her attitude goes something like this. God owes us to bless and protect us because we've been good to him. No bad thing should happen to us because we believe in God. If it happens to us, and when it is so bad, we even have a right to curse God. That was her way of thinking. You see, people with such wrong expectations of God live on, I would call, their bad theology. That goes something like this. Grant me, O God, only good things, please, and occasional bad things that I can handle. However, when I have more than I can handle, it is your fault, and I quit, and I even have the right to curse you. That's bad theology. Number three, of course, Jonah, our today's character, he was not far from Job's wife when it comes down to bad theology. His understanding of God's mercy in particular was fundamentally flawed. It goes like this. It is okay for me to receive God's unfailing mercies, but not okay for my enemies, the Ninevites, to receive those mercies because they do not deserve them. Jonah failed to see that God's mercy is for all, both Israel and for Gentiles. He failed to understand true nature of God's mercy, which is unlimited and unfathomable to both friends and foes. So when his understanding of God's mercy clashed with God's own practice, Jonah got really mad and displeased and angry with God. Now the rest of my sermon I'm going to devote to how do we then, if we are angry with God, handle our own anger. Okay? I'm going to present to you A, B, C. A means avoid, B means be humble, and C means choose. A, avoid bad theology. How do we avoid bad theology? By being grounded and rooted in God's word, the Bible, for your understanding of God. Not grounded in your own imaginations or misunderstanding, not in your feelings, not in the books you read, not human wisdom, not even traditions. I just listed all the things that people go to for their understanding of God. You have to go to the Bible, God's word. Because any theology not backed by the Bible can result in wrong expectations of God and unhealthy response to God's attributes and actions. Here's an example. Some of you heard of the theology called health and wealth theology. It goes basically like this. If you believe in the name of Jesus, everything will be fine and dandy. You will be healthy and you will be wealthy. That's the summary of it. If you flip the coin, it goes like this. If you're not healthy and if you're not wealthy, something's wrong with your faith. That's bad theology. Another example is this. When bad things happen to you, we typically ask, why me, Lord? Why me, God? I used to ask that question whenever bad things happen to me. As I grow mature, you know, physically as well as emotionally and spiritually, I begin to ask myself question, why not me? When bad things strike me, I said, why not me, Lord? I mean, it strikes everybody else. Okay. Now, here's the reality, folks. The reason I said that you got to be grounded in the Word of God is because in the Bible, you will never see God who promises us a trouble-free life. As life as you experience is not always rosy and healthy, is it? Even to the believers. Here's what you will find in the Bible, God's word. God's promise for all of us is this. I will be with you. I will see you through. Okay? Therefore, we need to be very careful not to define or dictate to God what is fair and not. Okay, we tend to do that. This is what the Bible says. God does according to his own will, and no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? He does according to his own will. You see, I understand, I think it's God's mercy that he allows us and tolerates us to lash out our anger at him occasionally. But think this question, do we even have a right to be angry at God? When you remember, God is the Creator Almighty, and you and I are mere creatures. That's number one, avoid bad theology. Number two, be humble before God when you express your anger toward him. Scripture says God is kind and slow to anger, and his heart is big enough to allow us to speak about our anger in prayer. However, when you do it with humility, not with arrogance. Remember, you are not equal to God. You're talking to God the Almighty. It is always a good practice, too, to ask ourselves if we have good reason to be angry with God. Like God asked him twice, Jonah, do you have a good reason to be angry? I think it's a good reminder for us to practice, too. Now, let me share my personal story. You know, I have three brothers, all of them older than I am. About 40-some years ago, one of my brother, got involved in motorcycle accident. That night he was drunk, okay, as you could imagine. He had a girlfriend on his back riding together on a motorcycle. And as you could imagine, involved in a motorcycle accident. And when he landed on his head, without helmet after all, and when he landed on his head, and the x-ray showed in the hospital, the size of the orange tennis ball blood clot lodged in the center of his brain. That's how bad it was. So he immediately got into comatose for the next 2 weeks. Okay? So as soon as we or just family got together and we were told by the doctor, he would not do the surgery because chances are, you know, brain surgery 40 some years ago in Korea, you could imagine. Even today, it's very tricky business. Anyway, after we were told that he's going to be the same that way in comatose, I went to the Lord in prayer and fasting, and basically I cried out unto God, Lord, give the life of my brother to me. That's all I kept telling him, asking God, give his life to me, Lord, give his life to me. On the third day of prayer and fasting, God spoke to me. He somehow gave me the assurance that your brother will make it. So I spread the word. God told me that he's going to make it. And nobody in my family believed it for the next, 11 days, because he still was in coma. Miraculously, on the 14th day, 2 weeks after the accident, he came out of the comatose with no single scalpel on his head. Came out of the comatose. And under 2 weeks, he walked out of the hospital on his own foot. To me, it was God's miracle. So far, so good. Praise God. Now, you need to move the timetable 20 years later. Okay, I was on my knees once again praying for my, the same brother. And this time I was so unhappy with him. What happened is that my brother, even though he came out without any surgery, he became paralyzed, partially paralyzed because of the brain injury. So because of the frustration and the limitations he had, he went for more drinking. So alcoholism. And more drinking, he lost his job a couple of times. He couldn't hold up the job. And plus, because of that problem, he was divorced by his own wife and so forth. And of course, his life was in a mess. And he created the enormous, headache and heartache to my mother, and my mother calling me. I'm the pastor in the family, so she constantly calls me all the problems she has. I was so fed up with this, problem over and over again that I went to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I wish, this is what I said, I wish my brother were dead. This is what I said. And that same night, I felt God telling me, my child, I cannot please you. Which one do you want? Do you want your brother alive or do you want him dead? Well, back then, 20 years ago, I wanted him alive, and 20 years later, I wanted him dead. I found myself contradicting myself, and I was ashamed. You see, you need to ask God and yourself do I have a good reason to be angry at him? Now, that's number two. And number three is that choose to trust in God, not your own feelings. I think it is wise of us to acknowledge that our understanding is very limited. I don't know about you, but as I grow older, I feel like there are many times that I was so assured of certain things, and I feel like, not anymore. In other words, we could be wrong, and we don't know the future or even the final outcome of what we are currently mad at God. Therefore, the best way would be trust in God and his good will. Romans 8:28 says this, God makes all things beautiful in his time. For those who love him. Do you love God? And God will make all things good and bad. And like a master weaver, weaving back and forth, across, and he would make a beautiful piece. In the meantime, you need to trust in him. Therefore, it is very unwise of us to jump into a quick conclusion, because it takes time to realize what's best for us. And let me tell you the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Who's Joseph? You heard of the name of Abraham, had son Isaac. Isaac had son Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And Joseph was number 11th son. The problem in the family of Jacob was, Jacob loved Joseph, number 11th son, more than any other 11 sons. we call favoritism, right? That created enormous resentment, especially among the older brothers of Joseph, to the point where they sold Joseph into slavery for a few coins. You think your family story is bad? Listen, Jacob's family is worse. They sold their own brother into slavery, and they deceived their father for many years. So poor Joseph was sold into slavery for the next 14, 15 years, serving as a slave until he became the prime minister of the Egyptian kingdom. Can you imagine what's going on in Joseph's heart in those years? Oh, I'm so mad at my own brothers, and I'm mad and angry at God. Why God allowed this thing to happen to me? You know that kind of thing? Until God says, Joseph, let me tell you, the reason why I brought you into Egypt is because to prepare the future for your family. Indeed, about the time that Joseph became prime minister of Egypt, the land of plenty, the family in Canaan, Israel, they all suffered from famine and drought and whatnot. It's perfect timing for God to, you know, prepare Joseph that way. In other words, when we have trust in God, it becomes a positive way of handling our anger with God. If you are angry with God, certain things, unresolved issue, why don't you say to God, Lord, I trust in your goodwill. In your time, you will make all things beautiful. So as for closing, this is what I'll say. Anger is a choice, folks. You cannot blame someone else all the time. The anger that you have, you make the choice. Make the right choice every day. And once again, my recommendation based upon the Bible, avoid bad theology. Root yourself deep in God's word. Number two, be humble before God in your anger. And number three, choose to trust in God, not your own feelings. Let's bow our heads and pray. Almost everyone I know has issues with God and with people because we are so imperfect. Either we misunderstand God's attributes and actions, we get angry, or even we treat each other so badly that we hurt each other, and that lasts for years. This morning, after the first service, someone told me that, you know, I haven't spoken with my brother for a number of years. That one will come tomorrow, next Sunday, but Lord, constantly we deal with our own anger inside. The problem is that unless we resolve that, it'll affect us both mentally and spiritually and even physically. So we need to learn how to handle our anger. First of all, towards you, Lord, you ask us just go into the Bible and proper understanding of God. Next one is that be humble. And number three, choose to trust in God. Help us to do so, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.